So the next speaker is Alexander Beshetsky from Mechanobiology Institute in Singapore, also emeritus professor at the Weizmann Institute. And the title of his talk is Self-Organization of Actin Networks and Cell Morphogenesis. Thank you, Sasha.
It is a pleasure to be here, and thank you very much, Tama, for organizing this meeting. Heische made a wonderful introduction to my talk because she characterized mechanics of cytoskeletal filaments, and I'm going to speak about relationship of some of the classes of these cytoskeletal fibrils with each other. And my actually main subject will be how microtubules, special type of cytoskeletal fibers shown here in green, interacting with cell adhesions with extracellular matrix. And I will consider two types of such adhesions, focal adhesions shown here in purple, elongated entities at the cell periphery, and another type of adhesions called podosomes, which are distributed over the whole ventral surface of the cell sitting on the matrix. And interestingly, these two adhesions have exactly the same adhesion machinery, namely transmembrane receptors by which they attach to the extracellular matrix. But cytoskeletal structures of these adhesions are different, and hence interactions with other elements of the cytoskeleton with microtubules will lead to different effects. My main statement, which I'm going to discuss today, is that microtubules regulate these adhesions via control of the assembly of another element of the cytoskeleton, myosin II filaments, which appear to be much more abundant in non-muscle cells than we thought before, and playing probably a much more important role. Let's begin more systematically. Here is the cartoon from a wonderful review published recently, and you see here all types of the structures that actin filaments form in the cell. First of all, lamellipodia and filopodia, by which cell kind of moving and interacting with the matrix. There is a cortical network, and there are some bundles of filaments. What I want to stress here, that other important elements of the cytoskeleton not shown here are just contacts of cell with the matrix, and one type of such contacts, which I already mentioned, focal adhesions, are mainly associated with these bundles of actin filaments. And there is also another type of such contacts called podosomes that kind of also actin-based structure but organized in different way. Let's speak a little bit more detail about how they are organized. This is typical view of the migrating cell. In red, you see bundles of actin filaments, and they are associated with this elongated entity containing integrins and hundreds of linking proteins that connect actin filaments with these adhesion receptors. Each bundle consists of about also 100 individual actin filaments, and inside this adhesion, you also have a system of these parallel actin bundles, which are connected to integrin receptors. Podosomes are organized in a similar way, as I said, in terms of adhesion domain, which in this case, however, is a circular domain that surrounds the actin core. But the structure of actin core is completely different from these actin bundles typical for focal adhesions. It is a network, kind of branching network made by actin and actin nucleating complex known as ARP23. So in simple schematics, you see that focal adhesions contain transmembrane integrin receptors that connected to the extracellular matrix. Here you have this linking protein, here actin filaments, and since actin cytoskeleton is contractile, the focal adhesion experience traction force without which they actually cannot exist. Podosomes contain exactly the same transmembrane integrin receptors and the same linker protein, but organization of actin network is different and kind of contain mainly the branching network of actin filament. Now, let's return to the first question, namely how these two types of structures interacting with microtubules. And the first approach to study such interaction was very simple. People simply disrupted microtubules. There are some very specific drugs that if you treat cells, for example, with nacodazole or colchicine or colchicine, you can completely and specifically disrupt microtubules. And response of this adhesion structure to such disruption was quite opposite. If you disrupt microtubules and cells that normally form podosomes, podosomes immediately disappear. Sometimes in such cells you can have appearance of focal adhesion instead, but podosomes cannot live without microtubules. On the contrary, if you disrupt microtubules in cells that normally form focal adhesions, when you disrupt microtubules, focal adhesions become larger. And it means that actually podosomes are depend on microtubules. Microtubules positively regulate podosomes and microtubules negatively regulate focal adhesions. This can be seen also from the movie that I'm going to show you, in which microtubules were first disrupted and then the drug that disrupted microtubules was washed out and microtubules begin to grow intensely. And when these microtubules are growing, focal adhesions transiently disappeared. They returned back, of course, but at the first moment of massive polymerization of microtubules, focal adhesion disappeared, which is another illustration that microtubules negatively regulate focal adhesions. Of course, disruption of microtubules is very non-physiological situation. So we decided to look more precisely how microtubules really interacting with this adhesion structure. And here, actually, very important discovery of recent time was very helpful. Namely, three groups, found a family of protein called CANC proteins that really responsible for the physical connection between microtubules and adhesions. Here in this cartoon, you will see how it happened. These are integrin molecule, transmembrane molecule that work as a dimers, alpha and beta integrin. And beta integrin connected to actin via very important protein called TELIN. So TELIN is a major link between cytoplasmic domain of integrin and actin cytoskeleton. And it appears that there are these proteins of CANC family, each of which has so-called KN domain at the N-terminus, which bind TELIN, not in the place where TELIN bind to actin. They're actually not competing. And then another domain of CANC proteins, mainly coil-coil domain, can bind a complex of protein that actually can trap microtubules. It is kind of docking site on the cortex, which via proteins of CLASP family can trap microtubules. So CANC protein formed this link between this microtubule trapping complex and adhesions by binding TELIN. There are probably some other sites by which CANC can bind microtubules, but the main one is this coiled-coiled domain which binds to leprin, one of the components of this complex. And of course, these proteins were shown to be located both on focal adhesions and, as we have shown recently, on podosomes. On podosomes, they surround these podosome rings, like here. In focal adhesions, they also often seen to surround this elongated body of focal adhesions. Do these proteins really responsible for targeting of microtubules to adhesion? The answer is yes, and it can be seen if we plate cells on the pattern consisting of small islands. So, for example, focal adhesions can form only in ordered manner on these adhesive islands. And then we will follow how these microtubules going towards focal adhesions and in between them. And in control cells, the difference is very high. You see here that majority of microtubules are going to focal adhesions. If, however, we make knockdown of two conchs, conch 1 and conch 2, there will be no preference of almost no preference of microtubules to go to focal adhesions. This you can see in these movies, in which actually ends, tips of microtubules are decorated by protein called EB3, and you see in control cells these microtubules are going mainly to adhesions, and if you superimpose this position of these tips, you will see that they really concentrated there, while in the cells having no conchs, microtubules just ignore and go in any directions, and if you superimpose position of their tips, it will be everywhere. So indeed, conch is responsible for targeting of microtubules to adhesions. And now let's look what happens if you remove these conch proteins. Removal of conch proteins does not disrupt microtubules, but it appears surprisingly that disconnection of microtubules without disruption produce exactly the same effect of both on focal adhesions and on podosomes. Here, for example, cell-forming podosome and microtubules, then you remove conch by knockdown of conch 1, and you see still a lot of microtubules, but no podosome, exactly what happened upon total disruption of microtubules. Here you have actually focal adhesions. Again, you remove conch, you still have many microtubules, focal adhesions became larger. We can, instead of knockdown of this protein, disconnect them from adhesions in a different way. For example, we can, this is again cartoon showing how conch bind to adhesion. We can, in fact, introduce overexpress in the cell only KN domain that bind TELIN. So it will displace then the endogenous conch from TELIN and also disconnect microtubules from adhesions. And but again, without disruption of microtubules. In this experiment, this exogenous KN domain is labeled by GFP. And what you see here, this is again control situation, but if you introduce this KN domain of conch, it will strongly reduce number of podosomes. Actually, if you leave some time or at sufficient level of overexpression, podosomes will be completely disrupted, but it definitely binds to remaining podosomes as well as newly formed focal adhesions. And the same situation if you introduce this KN domain into fibroblast, you disconnect and it leads to increase of the size of the focal adhesions. Finally, we can actually connect and disconnect in conditional manner. We have these two fragments of conch protein, KN domain that bind to TELIN, and the rest of conch protein that bind to this microtubule trapping complex, and we conjugate them with the small proteins that can bind antibiotic called rapamycin. When we add rapamycin, these two parts of protein becoming connected because both these kind of sequences that we fused with the sequence of KN and the rest of molecule can bind rapamycin. So by addition of rapamycin, you can artificially enhance the connection of microtubules with these adhesions. And here on this movie, you will see that effect of such kind of forced connection will be the same as upon kind of burst of the polymerization of microtubules, namely, as soon as other part of the conc coming to adhesions, adhesions begin to disrupt. So I probably kind of convinced you that this protein really can regulate connection between microtubules and adhesions. And this connection of microtubules from adhesion has exactly the same effect as a total disruption of microtubules. Now, I want to demonstrate that all these events are working because of regulation by microtubules, the assembly of another component of the cytoskeleton, namely myosin filaments. Myosin, actually there are more than 30 types of different myosin, but I'm going to speak here about one type called myosin 2, which actually unique because it has long tail, and these tails can interact with each other, so these myosin molecules can form different kind of filaments. In striated muscle, these filaments are huge. They contain about 300 individual myosin molecules. In smooth muscle, these myosin filaments are arranged not exactly in the same way as in striated muscle, but also quite big. And non-muscle cells form only mini filaments made of these myosin too. Each filament contains about 30 molecule of myosin, and the length of such filament is only 300 nanometers. We decided to visualize this molecule in our cells by labeling of myosin light chain, which is located at the neck connecting myosin heads and myosin tails, so these regions of myosin filaments will be labeled. And result is as follows. This is a movie showing how the myosin filaments are distributed in the cell. And I must say that only special type of microscopy, namely structured illumination microscopy, can reveal the filaments of myosin 2 in our cells properly. And you see here how such filaments shown as two dots appeared at the periphery of the cell and then incorporate in these superstructures that we call stacks, which actually bridge different bundles of actin filaments. We believe that the role of these myosin filaments is not only to create tension, even though it is of course very important, but also general structural organization of the actin cytoskeleton in significant degree depends on formation of this myosin superstructure. You can see it here in this spreading cell. It is also true for the polarized cell where you have elongated parallel bundles of actin filaments all bridged by these stacks of myosin filaments. And now I'm coming to the main point of the talk, namely how microtubules actually regulate these adhesions. Here you have cell-forming podosomes, and here myosin filaments in this cell. Then we disrupt microtubules by nacodazole, and you see that it leads to strong increase of polymerization of myosin filaments, which actually eliminate these podosomes. So the actually effector that disrupt podosomes upon disruption of microtubules are myosin filaments. And exactly the same story happen in cells that form focal adhesions, but result will be the opposite. When you disrupt microtubules, you have again strong increase of polymerization of myosin filaments, but it leads to increase of the size of focal adhesions. Now, it is interesting that when you make not disruption of microtubules, but just disconnection of microtubules from adhesions by knockdown of CANC, you also have strong increase in the number of myosin filaments. And if you knock down myosin filaments, all manipulation with microtubules, both total disruption and disconnection, which normally lead to increase of myosin filaments and therefore disruption of podosome. So without myosin, nothing is working. You can disrupt microtubules, but still, or you can disconnect them from adhesions, but still podosomes will be well preserved if you have no myosin filaments. Yeah. Now, how myosin filaments are regulated? Myosin filaments are regulated by phosphorylation of myosin light chain by several kinases, of which Rho kinase is most important. And Rho kinase is regulated by small G protein Rho, which in turn is regulated by special activators called G protein exchange factors. Now, if we inhibit Rho kinase, and there is a good inhibitor for this, you can actually regulate very efficiently the number of myosin filaments. Here you see what happens if you add this inhibitor, all filaments gone, but then you wash it out and all filaments are coming. Doing this, we can actually rescue podosomes in cells in which podosomes are disconnected from microtubules. And we can show that these rescued podosomes are really functional, because I have not mentioned here, but very important function of podosomes is degradation of extracellular matrix. Focal adhesion in this sense are much weaker. So this is control cells with podosomes, and it is shown how it degrades fluorescent gelatin and kind of type of extracellular matrix. When you disconnect podosomes from microtubules, they disappear. Instead, focal adhesions are formed, which by far less efficient in the degradation. But then, still in the cell where microtubules are disconnected from adhesions, you block myosin and you have rescue of podosomes, and these podosomes are totally functional. They can degrade the extracellular matrix. And now, final point, how disconnection of microtubules actually activate myosin. It is probably because of one of these activators of Rho, Rho exchange factor called GFH1, about which it was known before that it is actually associated with microtubules. And it is not surprising that when this GFH1 kind of, when microtubules are disrupted, GFH1 released from microtubules. By some reason, when it is sitting on microtubules, it is non-active. And it explains the situation with total disruption of microtubules. But now we have shown that when we do not disrupt microtubules, they are still there, but simply disconnect them from adhesions, this exchange factor also released from microtubules and become diffusely distributed over the whole cell surface. And finally, again, if you knock down this GFH1, even without connection of microtubules to adhesions, you still will have well-preserved podosomes. So again, GFH1, like myosin, is an effector which mediate the effect of microtubule disconnection from adhesion. So altogether, it suggests the following scheme. You have microtubules at which this GFH1 is sitting. When microtubules are trapped by adhesions via this CANC protein, the release of this GFH1 and therefore its activation is blocked. But as soon as you remove or displays this KN protein, so you do not have anymore this negative regulation of release of GFH1 from microtubules. There is an activation of Rho and Rho kinase, formation of myosin filaments, and then remodeling of both podosomes and focal adhesions. This is the end of the story, but I want to show just two slides showing why, in principle, it might be practically important. The thing is that in spite of the fact that microtubule disrupting drugs for many years are used as anti-cancer drugs, nobody understands why they are doing that. The textbook opinion is that actually microtubule disrupting drugs affect mitotic spindle. But it is not correct, because now the new generation of microtubule disrupting drug was developed that work only against spindle microtubules, and it appears to be completely therapeutically useless. So microtubule disrupting drug are not working on the level of spindle, they are working on the level of cytoplasmic microtubules. So they probably regulate the migration of cancer cells, but also there is another cell type which is very important, namely the cells that participating in tumor angiogenesis. Tumor angiogenesis made by mainly endothelial cells, which can form new blood vessels that finally feed the tumor. And actually, there are many evidence that microtubule disrupting drugs work on the level of suppression of this tumor angiogenesis. With these ideas in mind, we decided to check whether not total disruption of microtubules, but just disconnection of microtubules from adhesion by knockdown of this KANK protein will somehow interfere with angiogenesis. And we used, of course, not in vivo angiogenesis, but a model of angiogenesis in vitro using microfluidic system when these endothelial cells are migrating into 3D gel and form something like vascular sprouts. If you block KANK1 and KANK2, the same cells will not be able to form vascular sprouting, which opens a new road for looking at the possible anti-cancer drugs in the future. So this work, dominating role in podosome and focal adhesion work, was done by a very talented PhD student, Nisha Rafik Shichong, who did the already published work on the organization of myosin in the cell, which I mentioned here. Yukaka participated in this work by working mainly with focal adhesions, and there are some other people with whom we collaborated during this work. Thank you for your attention.